132. Brother Frank this morning, these Sundays just seem to be rolling along so quickly. And that's a good thing. I'm glad we can enjoy our church family together. Psalm 143:8 says the following: cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. And what a beautiful prayer for us each and every morning to ask that God would speak to us in terms of his loving kindness because of our trust in him, and that he would guide us as we would walk, lifting up our souls unto him. Welcome to everyone on Zoom. And I want to extend greetings on behalf of Sister Barbara. And unfortunately, she just wasn't feeling up to coming this morning with pain in her knees and so forth. So we have a special prayer that God would bring comfort to her. Any other greetings?
Greetings from Brother Willie Kurtz and from Brother Jim and Sister Linda Hemingway.
Brother Willie Kurtz and Jim and Helen. And a special prayer there, right? Request.
Yeah, Sister Hilda, Jim said, is very weak, and Jim asked for prayers too because he knows that he's getting up there in age and he's slowing down.
Okay, so Jim is asking for prayers for Hilda, who's not doing well, and then also for himself as he's slowing down. All right. Today is our collection for New Hope. Next Sunday, be sure we have it on our calendar for the annual business meeting. That will be March 16th, following lunch. Richmond Choir, again, is visiting April 5th and 6th, and at lunchtime, Brother Harry will be sharing some more information with us about their visit. Elder Council meeting in West Akron, April 11 and 12. I wanted to announce that my nephew, Peter Schneider, is going to be baptized. I don't know if everybody is aware of that, but he's going to be baptized on Easter Sunday. So we are just thrilled and so thankful that he has turned his life to the Lord and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So you can be praying for that as well. Easter Sunday baptism. He also thanks everyone for prayers on his behalf as well. Today we have a special presentation, Papua New Guinea, which is our quarterly mission focus. We have a video from Papua New Guinea, so we'll sing a song or two to begin, and then we'll end with a song and sandwich the video in between. Anything else? Okay. So please pray for Brother Phil as he brings us God's word this morning. And let us knit our hearts together in singing. Zion's Harp 238. Blessed Savior, come to me. Let's sing the first three verses. 238, verses 1, 2, and 3.
By his blood, and that we can come into your throne room and speak with you, Lord. That is a treasure beyond comprehension, Lord. And may we never take it for granted, and may we ever desire it more than anything else, to commune with our Father, to worship you, to praise you, to ask for your will to be done. We thank you now for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for each one of us. Come, we pray a blessing on those who are away from us, and a special blessing on those who aren't feeling well. That you would recover them, heal them, and bring them back into our midst. Lord, we just thank you because you are the great physician and you can do anything. And we just trust you will do what you know is best. Because we have a faith that you have our best interest in mind. So we ask that we would just be yielded to you and that our spirit would be filled with your spirit, that we would worship and praise and adore you. We thank you for this blessing of being together, hearing your word. Pray that it would be the strongest, powerful force in this room, along with your spirit. And thank you now for all your blessings, and praise you in Jesus' name. If you could ask Jesus to teach you one thing, what would it be? Jesus, it's just one thing I want to know and understand, and teach me this. Would it be to love more, to be more forgiving, to have more faith, how to heal the sick? These are all reasonable things that even the disciples could have asked, and maybe did, they're not recorded in Scripture. There's only one thing, it's funny, they saw it, already mentioned it this morning during Bible class. There's only one thing that the disciples asked, teach us, Lord, teach us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, that one thing is to pray. And so let's read the scripture, Luke 11, the first 13 verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity will he rise and give him as many as is needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I've read through verse 13. In the Gospels, prayers of Jesus are mentioned around 30 times, plus or minus. I didn't do an exact count, but I know that's the numbers. In Luke, especially, prayers are a real focus. If you go through Luke and just think about the times prayers are mentioned, it's very interesting. Luke has a real focus on that. I think that he was, you know, writing for the early church, the emphasis on prayer was super important for them to hear. But why did Jesus need to pray? You know, skeptics would say that Jesus is God, so how can God pray to God? It's a real dilemma that some people have, a problem, an argument that they make that either he wasn't God or what? Why is he praying? And the difficulty is, and all of us trying to understand the essence of God, the triune nature of God, that God is a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. And before Jesus came to earth, I believe he was in heaven as part of the Godhead, all three in one. And I think he had all aspects of deity that God has. But when he came to earth, he limited that deity. Clearly, he wasn't omnipresent. God is omnipresent. This Holy Spirit is omnipresent, well, in each of us, wherever we are. But Jesus was fixed in one location at one time. He wasn't omnipresent. And I think he, as well, gave up those other omnis. I don't think he was omniscient, at least not as he was in heaven, and I don't think he was omnipotent, all-powerful. Now, Jesus was all-powerful because we know that he had the Holy Spirit in him. And the Holy Spirit is those things. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, but he had the Spirit, so he was indwelled. So when he was looking forward, he couldn't see behind his head like, you know, mothers can, but men can't. They see one thing in front of us, and he couldn't see. But the Spirit would give him answers and give him understanding for things that were around him, understanding of, you know, what the Pharisees are thinking, what his disciples are thinking. He had those things through the Spirit come into his mind of what is happening. And clearly he obeyed the laws of nature. He was human. He was fully human. But there are times that he had the power to calm the storm and walk on water and heal the sick and raise the dead. These are only powers that God had and the Spirit in him. He was God and man at the same time. Something we can't grasp. But as such, being man, being fully man, he longed for the communion that he had in heaven. That was when he was at one with the Father. He always was at one with the Father. Not saying he wasn't, but in such closeness. There was now I don't know if you can say a separation, but he was human, and as human, there was, and having limited himself of those aspects of deity, he longed to be in communion with the Father. As I said, there's many accounts of Jesus praying in Scripture, and I think there are a fraction of the time that he spent praying, what we read. I believe, and just my thought, that he prayed more than he slept, more than he ate. I think he may have prayed more than he even taught the people. I think, and certainly even in when it was not just him alone or praying audibly, you know, to God, even in, you know, just quiet times of walking down the road from one place to another, when he's not speaking with disciples, his mind is with God. He's in a prayer stance before God. And I think the disciples recognized it. I think the disciples recognized that there's something super amazing about you, Lord, because you do amazing things and you have authority as you teach, and your teaching is incredible. But what gives you all that? I don't know if at this point they understood that he was God in the flesh yet, the Messiah, the true God come before them. But they recognized that clearly your prayer life has changed, as it's drawn you, has made you to be this Messiah, this deliverer, this man of God, the Son of God. So when they recognized that, they said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And that's what they asked her. Clearly, John had taught his disciples to pray. We don't have any account of that. And we don't know what he taught, but we have Jesus' teaching of them to pray here and in Matthew, because they asked him, because it was the heart of what believers need to do. Before we look further into this account, I just want to read another account in Matthew 17. Matthew 17, starting in verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falls into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. This is an amazing account where this man was dealing with the burden of his son that would flail and almost kill himself from this demon possession that he had. And you know, how difficult as a father would it be to see that and to just bear that, to know what to do about it, how to help my son. And he brought him, I guess Jesus was probably busy and he saw the disciples first, and it seems like the disciples had healed before and gotten miracles, but they couldn't do this. There was something that was, they couldn't handle. And so the man comes before Jesus and says, please help me. Your disciples couldn't do it, and I'm sure you can. And certainly Jesus did, and he rebuked the devil, and the child was healed from that moment on. But it's super interesting, the disciples, as they separate themselves from the situation and ask him privately, why couldn't we do this? Obviously, they asked that because they had done it before. And so Jesus says, your unbelief, your lack of faith, your lack of believing that God is able to do, and maybe what the child was doing was just so overwhelming to them that they just didn't perceive, couldn't understand God even working this miracle. It was too big for them, and they didn't have the faith to. But what's super interesting to me is that Jesus says, if you have the faith, you can do the impossible. But this, in this instance, this demon and this possession was so great that this required prayer and fasting. So faith in God can do, if you have that faith, God can do anything. And nothing is impossible for God if we have that faith. But in this instance, it was prayer and fasting that was needed. Like, prayer and fasting is needed to grow our faith in order to do this miracle. Or whatever God has in store for us. We talk about, what we need to do in His kingdom this morning. I think it clearly starts with prayer. And Tisan mentioned this too. It starts with prayer. And prayer for increasing our faith. And just prayer alone, I think, increases our faith as we commune with God and have a greater understanding of who He is and how awesome He is and how powerful He is and how we need Him for every breath we take, let alone everything else. But to grasp prayer, faith increasing, and then do the works, do the healing. It starts with prayer. Prayer and fasting. A relationship with God. So my son is teaching Wednesday nights about prayer. And we had a good first lesson this past Wednesday. And he addressed a few reasons why we pray. And his first three reasons were because we were designed to be in communion with God. God breathed life into us, and we were made to be in connection, in communion with God. It's our nature. It's how we were made. His second was because we were assured that He hears us. He hears every prayer. He hears them all. And then the third one was, because He responds, He intervenes when we are aligned with His will. He responds to our prayers. Those were His three. There's many more reasons why we pray. Just a few I wrote down here. We pray because we worship and praise and adore God. We worship because the example of Jesus. If Jesus prayed, and He was, His connection is still not. Okay. If Jesus prayed as the Son of God, how much more so do we need to pray to be in communion with Him, to know His will, and to obey Him, and to, just be connected. To ask for help in spiritual battles, in fighting temptation, in dealing with Satan and his minions. In obedience to God's word tells us to pray. Pray always. Be instant in prayer. Because we have needs and concerns, we need answers, and we have decisions we need to make, this is all reasons to pray. And to intercede on behalf of those we love or care about. And those are a short list. There's many reasons why we need to pray. I think that was a good list, but When I was young, I remember a little magnet on our refrigerator saying, prayer changes things. It was like a little white magnet with a scroll and prayer changes things. And we addressed this a bit on Wednesday. His third point that Phil made was because he responds, he intervenes. And we talked about Moses and intervening on behalf of the Israelites. But some would say that God is sovereign, that He rules and His will is done. Whatever He wants occurs. Whatever He wants happens. And His plans are laid out and set. Which is true. But I believe our prayers do change things, do affect. Even within the Lord's Prayer, which we just read, and we talked about this a little Wednesday, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. Clearly in heaven, God's will is done. Whatever God wants occurs. And I think we can, by the prayer, it's not so on earth. God's will is not always done on earth. We have human will. We have human things. We could just turn on the news for a half an hour and see the atrocities of this world, the heinous things that people do, the evil against children, against people, the wars and just evil that is occurring. And clearly those things are not God's will. God doesn't want an innocent child to be abandoned or to be abused. That would never be in God's will. So clearly, God's will is, we should pray as it is, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that means that we need to be individually yielded to His will. We need to be in tune with His will. We need to do what we can to change the landscape of society that is so against God's will. And it's not just prayer that changes God. And God is, again, and this is why it's difficult to say that when we say it changes God, God is the same, infinite, always the same, never changing, perfect in every way, holy in every way, loving in every way. But somehow, His sovereignty and His understanding of all, somehow our prayers do affect Him. Somehow our prayers I don't want to say change again, but somehow our prayers affect God, and He responds in some way. In Revelation it says our prayers are stored up. So how that works, I don't understand, but I know that it does. I know that what Jesus prayed. And our prayers are not always answered as we want either. Jesus prayed, let this cup pass from me. Because His human flesh didn't want to deal with the bearing of all mankind's sin upon Him. But Thy will be done. So our prayers reach God and affect God, but are not always answered as we would want, as we would desire. Our prayers have to be in tune with His will. And it's not only prayers that God responds to. I'm reading in Zechariah now. In the very beginning of the book of Zechariah, it starts out like this. In the eighth month, in the year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Barachel. Barachiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore, say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. So interesting that it says saith the Lord of hosts before, in the middle, and at the end of that. He's emphasizing the Lord is saying this. The Lord is saying, turn ye unto me, and I will turn unto you. In other translations says, return to me, and I'll return to you. It's similar to James 4:8. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. We are called to step towards God. In the prodigal son, the father let him go, and he wandered far and wasted the inheritance and went to the lowest of lows. And when he came to himself, some would say, when the Spirit opened his eyes, he said, how much better it was in my father's house. And he started to go back to his father. He had to make the change. He made that change. Inspired by the Spirit, realizing God's ways are the best, his father's ways are the best, he turned toward home. And as he got near home, from a distance yet, the father saw him coming, and the father ran to him. The father didn't run when he was in a far-off country. The father waited till he came, and when he saw him, he ran. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. How do we draw nigh unto God? How do we return to God? Through prayer. Prayer and understanding his word, reading and understanding, connecting to our infinite God in our simple humanity, connecting to an infinite, almighty, all-loving Father in heaven. God responds to our prayers, he responds to our actions. There is a response from God. In our text here in Luke, it talks about, he gives us the prayer. And then he gives us this parable of someone, a friend has a surprise guest and has no food for him. So he goes to his neighbor friend and says, lend me something. I need to serve my guest. And the neighbor says, you know, I'm already sleeping. Why are you bothering me for? And he uses the word importunity. He pleads and persists and doesn't stop. Doesn't stop until the friend says, okay, already, I will give you some food. And gives him. We need to be bold when we come to the Father. We need to be persistent when we come to the Father. Especially if it's things that we know that are in his will. We know his will is for all to be saved. And so when we pray for those that are lost, we can pray persistently. We can pray boldly and pray for them. Pray that God would touch them and God would reach them. And collectively, not just personally, asking for prayers and knowing that God's will be done. He's a good father. It says, you know, we as fathers, human fathers, give good gifts to our children. How much more so will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to us? Specifically, he mentions here the Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit, we have God with us. And then all things, as we talked earlier, are possible. All things are possible. Not because, you know, our prayers made a difference. Not because, you know, our efforts and, you know, it's all about His will and His power and His glory. Lifting Him on high. Our prayers are important. And really, our prayers, God responds to them, but really, our prayers are changing us too. They're bringing us changing our heart, to be in closer connection with Him, and then understanding His ways that are beyond our ways. 364 days ago, I preached, standing here, on disappointments. And my example was these eagles in a nest that had three eggs that weren't hatching. The year before, they had one egg that wasn't hatching. And I mean, hundreds of thousands of people watch these eagles on YouTube because they're super cool and super amazing, and the beauty of everything about it is just amazing. And so this year, they had three eggs. And a week ago, two of the eggs hatched. And 2 days ago, the third egg hatched. And these little birdlings sit in the nest and are covered by their mom all the time. And dad comes and does his job too. And when they get off, they just take little pieces of food that their parents give them. It's just an amazing thing. But, you know, we sometimes worry about things. And the eagles, they don't seem to worry about much. And now they have three little babies that, you know, can fall out of a nest that's 500 feet in the air. All kinds of things that I would worry about when it's windy. I'm like, they're going to blow out. All kinds of things that I worry about. The eagles don't have a worry. They trust, God made me this way. I'm going to go get the fish. I'm going to bring it to the nest. I'm going to feed. I'm going to cover them. Instinctively, they're doing what God put in them. Do we instinctively do what God put in us, which is to commune with Him, to make Him the highest priority, to serve Him, to pray, and to bow ourselves before Him and say, Thy will be done. And to plead for the things that we know are His will. To ask that His name be glorified in our church, in our lives, in our children. He provides all our needs in every way. He wants to change us, and prayer is a way that changes us. Prayer shouldn't be an obligation or a duty or an item we check off the list on today's things to do. It should be, as Jesus, what we want to do, what we need to do when you're in the desert and you're desperate for a drink and someone offers you water. Oh, that's what I needed. As a believer in the God of heaven and as redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I want to commune with God. I want to have that relationship with Him. It should be the desire of our heart to be in close communion and connection with Him. Give us life and hope and strength. Prayer is our lifeline, our connection to the Father. It should increase our faith and change things around us. Change us and change things around us. And change our hearts. May we, like Jesus, like the disciples, ask Jesus, teach us to pray. And they didn't even ask Him teach how to pray. It says, teach us to pray. Just teach us to pray. Just to be more prayerful people. To desire. To praise You. To worship You. To commune with You. To be connected to You. God is way more important than many of the things we spend our time with. I want to conclude with a song that I've heard recently quite a bit. It's called Somebody Prayed. Every night, there before, there by your bed, you fold your hands and bow your head, throwing out another prayer in faith. When you're wondering if he's hearing you, look at me, I'm living proof. I'm only right where I am today because somebody prayed. So I hit my knees because I've seen all heaven move. I pray, Father, please, because I've seen what he can do. These hands have no power. But there ain't an hour he don't come through. That's why when mountains move, I say, looks like somebody prayed. For the child of God that's far from home, the one who thinks they're too far gone, I'm throwing out another prayer in faith. Worn out altars, tear-stained pews, still I won't give up on you. I believe that anything can change when somebody prays. I've seen miracles come from feeble words. I've seen hospital rooms turn into cathedrals. I've seen freedom come to the prisoner. You can't tell me that prayer don't work. So every night there by your bed, when you fold your hands and bow your head, not a single word you've ever said in vain, because he hears everything. So I hit my knees, because I've seen all heaven move. Don't matter if you've hit rock bottom, my God will pick you up when you call him. I pray, Father, please, because I've seen what he can do. Don't matter if the storm cloud coming, my God will come through when you call him. These hands have no power, but there ain't an hour he don't come through. That's why when mountains move, I say, looks like somebody prayed. May we be people of prayer that commune with God and that affect God's heart and that we would desire to do his will of all of us, to honor and glorify his name as our chief priest, our chief Lord. Let's conclude by singing hymn 235, verses 1 and 3.
I'm standing before you as a miracle
really as an answer to prayer. That's just one example. I humbly say that. But I am so thankful that we have that avenue, the Father. I want to just read a couple verses from Acts chapter 4. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were where they were assembled together. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Wow. Can you imagine the very rafters of this building shaking because of prayer? Yes, it's possible. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. It's very possible, and I think we should endeavor to pray that way, with confidence and with the boldness that we're taught in Scripture to come before the throne of grace, to pray for one another, to pray for this country, to pray for this church, to pray for our church families, to pray for those who are hurting around us, and to pray for the lost. We have so much to pray for. And it's just been a wonderful reminder of that this morning. So, Brother Phil, thank you for being used by the Lord to do that. Could we arise and pray with them as we would close this service? Oh, Father, the power of prayer, the privilege of prayer. Oh, Father, the beauty of prayer, the opportunity that prayer is for each one of us, that you've made it so that, as we heard this morning, by faith in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice upon Calvary, we have been given a robe of righteousness, your robe, that we can then come before you, Lord, with confidence and knowing that you hear us. And Lord Jesus, you arose to be with the Father following 40 days. The apostles saw you rise into the air. You said, the angel said that you would come back one day in a similar way. And we pray for that to happen, and that would happen soon. But we also pray for all those that are around us who do not know you, Lord, as Lord and Savior. And we pray a thankfulness for my nephew Peter that he has responded to the call. And many, many more. We just pray would come to you and desire baptism. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come before you as unworthy as we are, mere mortals, as we heard this morning. But yet, you invite us into your throne room on high that we could present our very bodies as living sacrifices upon the altar in the throne room of God. We think about how awesome that is. We need to think more deeply about how we come before you, when we come before you, how frequently we come before you, and what it is we say. And moreover, Lord, that we would have quiet time with you, that we could listen to you speak to us. So thank you, Lord, for this beautiful reminder of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us together in this day, that we could pray together, that we could sing together, that we could worship together, that we could sit at your feet for learning. And now, Father, as we would pause for fellowship around the tables, we just pray, dear God, be in that fellowship and be honored by that fellowship and bless the food that we are about to eat. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I forgot and I came back and then.